Welcome to the Being Curious Show. I'm Brian Mariani, founder of No Shift Own.
And I'm Kelly Wagner, publisher of Edge Magazine. Our show is about curiously connecting teachers and seekers on a wide range of topics in a safe space. Few topics will be off limits, and we have some amazing guests to share with you.
Our intention is that our conversations will spark your own curiosity to create a life that lights you up and inspires you to be kind, thoughtful, open-minded to yourself and others.
We are on AM 950, Sundays at 2 p.m. and all podcast platforms. So, Brian, what are you curious about today?
Oh, here we go, Kelly.
This is going to be a good one.
Wow. I'm excited. I mean, just reading through the cliff notes of our guest today, I was thinking, wow, how lucky are we? We get to have this conversation today of all days.
For people that are watching the video, the sparkling of his eyes.
So here we are. Our guest today is Dr. Bernard Beitman, or as he likes to be called sometimes, Bernie.
Bernie.
He is the author of the new book, Meaningful Coincidences, How and Why Synchronicity and Serendipity Happen. We are very excited that he's with us today. His website is coincider.com. I actually had to say that a bunch of times. Did I say that right, Dr. Beitman?
Yeah, not too many people hit that right. You got it.
I felt like I might get it right. I felt like something aligned in our coming together, and I might get that correct.
You got it. And why do you think I use that term?
So immediately when I read it, I thought two things. When I first saw it, I go, okay, co-insider. Interesting. Kind of made me think. And then I thought, okay, something about having insider access to how coincidence happens.
Beautiful. You got it.
Awesome. Ding, 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 awesome. Ding, ding, ding.
There's a little something else, too. That, I mean, you got to the more sophisticated version of it. Rather than call people who experience coincidences experiencers, mm-hmm. which covers a broad range of experiences, I wanted to make a word for people who experience coincidences, and it's a coincider. That's where it starts.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you.
You know, as I looked through your, you know, professional history, it was very, very, it was very revealing that you've had the great opportunity to go through some of the world's greatest institutions, you know, be a part of a peer group and a learning that really has you in a position to be very qualified to speak on certainly this topic, but I'm sure many others. But we love our audience to really get to know you as a person first and foremost. We find that what you do is kind of incidental of who you are. It's a result of who you are in your life experience. So we're curious, and we'd love to ask you if you could go back in your lifetime and maybe share a story of one of those early experiences you had where, looking back on it, you could go, well, that's why I do what I do today. We'd love to hear that, if you could remember or share one of those experiences.
I'm writing a book about all the coincidences of my life, so
I love it.
That's not hard to do.
Cool.
And your idea of we are what we produce as a product of our experiences is so right on. And I want to give you two answers to that, because I do believe in teleology, that we are drawn to the future. We have a purpose here, and it's fun to try to figure out what it is and then go ahead and do it. I mean, it's just like rock and roll, and I like to be able to help people use meaningful coincidences to find their purposes in life. And the nice thing about meaningful coincidences is they happen to you. Mm-hmm. It's not me telling you what to do. I mean, these seminars on the web of all this hours and hours and money to tell you how to do yourself. I want to help people do it from within. to do their own experiences, to be able to see where mind matches external reality, which brings us to have to question our views of reality because our minds are much more connected to what's around us. So I've had a burning curiosity, as I heard you say you have, about what's going on around here. And yes, I love that I went to Yale and Stanford. I love to say it, and I was chairman of a psychiatry department. I said, hey, so that's cool, man, so I can say this stuff. You know, it sounds like I'm talking about something.
Yeah.
And there is some truth to that. My book, Meaningful Coincidences, is a product of trying to be systematic about a kind of ambiguous idea and experience to help people get a better idea about what meaningful coincidences can be, synchronicity and serendipity being the primary one. So it comes out of a love of helping. I'm a psychiatrist. I love helping people help themselves. So that's a deep burning thing in me. I think it came from my wanting to do psychotherapy for my mother. And guess what? It didn't work. It just didn't work.
Sometimes our greatest failings are a light towards where we should look closer.
Yeah. Amen, brother, baby. Amen, brother. I like the way you think. Amen, brother. So I couldn't do it with her, so I'm trying to do it for the part of the world that will listen to me. So it's kind of the metaphor of that. So the future has pulled me to study meaningful coincidences because I see an increasing need for doing something like what I'm doing for a lot more people and let more people get tuned in to meaningful coincidence. So that's a teleological one. But from the past, I've had lots of them. Probably the most profound one in many ways was what happened to me in February 26th, 1973 in San Francisco, where I was standing at the sink of a Victorian house in the Fillmore District, coughing, choking uncontrollably. I couldn't stop choking. I hadn't eaten anything. It was 11 o'clock. I mean, I was just down there choking. I mean, that's what I remember most, just choking, and it wouldn't stop. And so it finally stopped, and then next morning, my brother called from Wilmington, Delaware, 3,000 miles away, and he told me that our father had died on February 27th. My father died at 2 a.m. Wilmington, Delaware time, and that was 11 p.m. San Francisco time. So I went to good school, so I could say this looks like there's maybe a connection here. You know, so the same time, approximately, I'm choking and he's choking and dying because he died bleeding into his throat. So I'm saying, what? What's this? And then to make it more fun, the day he died, February 27th, was my birthday. So that jammed that experience into my head and it came away with remember me, remember Carl Biteman. That's what I'm remembering him right now, telling you that story. And what it brought, a lot of things. It's a clean illustration of what a coincidence is. Because I was doing something very similar to what he was doing. Coincidences have parallel meanings in two apparently unrelated events. I mean, who caused what? We can't figure that one out. It was a big emotional thing, and coincidences have a lot of emotion associated with them often. It also had personal meaning. To me, what I just told you, I'm talking about it now. And it had meaning about the way reality works. And what is that meaning? Well, I gave the term simulpathity to this experience. Simul, the same time, pathity, feeling. Different from empathy, being as it's at a distance. Feeling it at a distance. So it turns out that the original definition of telepathy was just that. It was feeling at a distance, but telepathy's become more cognitive. And this feeling of the pain of a loved one, the stress of a loved one, is very common among identical twins. It's also happens with between people who are connected with each other. People like to call that entanglement, and in a way it is, but it's not the quantum physics entanglement. It's an energetic entanglement. It's a love entanglement. And just how that works, I have some idea about. And so I've developed a model for how this telepathy works. So four meanings, it's surprise, it's parallel meanings. It's like in the two things, it's what it means to me and what it means about the way reality works is fundamental to what I'm doing in trying to understand meaningful coincidences.
So, Dr. Weitman, it really, what, thank you for really setting the stage there. It's such a, there's such a deeper level of our own connection, even through this digital format that we have of you, based on even that one story. It helps humanize the systematic study that you've done for decades, right? It helps us understand the why, because that has allowed you to pursue with such passion this work and this field and this study. And as I was thinking about my own adventure through life and the coincidences and synchronicities that have happened, the question I really wanted to ask you was, can you qualify or quantify the ability for one to understand a coincidence or a moment of synchronicity based on their level of
awareness,
self-knowing, yeah, awareness, based on the level of self-care, self-knowing? I'd love to hear how you would, you know, qualify or quantify that.
The more spiritually and psychologically aware you are, the more capacity to have to understand and use these coincidences. It's a developmental process. It's not just straight across as for everybody. You bring up an important idea, and behind your question is, how do you even know they exist, coincidences, right? Starting with people who like my relatives, who say, well, okay, Bernie, you got an article in the LA Times about your book, but we don't know what you're talking about. We're not that interested either. And there's so many people like that. On the other hand, there are many, many people caught up in coincidences who want to know more about them. So there's this divide. And I'm a Pisces, and I bridge things. So I like to bridge academics with the general public and bring together people who know about coincidences with those who don't. And that's why I've created the Coincidence Cafe, which is a Zoom meeting once a month that anybody can join by going to my website. We can send you a coincider.com, as you so well said, and we can send you a link to the Coincidence Cafe, where we tell each other coincidence stories. That's the idea of increasing awareness and use of them. But I'm so glad with your question about spiritual and psychological development. And one of my favorite concepts is the self-observer, that we all have an ability to observe ourselves. You're nodding, you got one, you know it, and you know you got one. Both of you know you got one. Okay, I got me a self-observer. Okay, when you know that you have a self-observer, then there is a second observer observing your first self-observer. Now, that second observer is really able to see more and then the first is able to. And then if you're able to get to the second observer, there's then a third one observing the second one. And you see how the infinite regress can go. I just go up to three. And what that elevates is the sense of people having a sense of being guided, a sense that there's something else going on around here. And I've just ran across, through a coincidence too long to tell you, down by the local river where I get a lot of ideas, why are there so many words for God? Well,
I'm sorry, we are quiet on that one because I can't wait to hear what you're going to say. Because that's
I was
a great
hoping
question,
it was rhetorical.
Right? Like, right? Because go for it. It's fascinating.
It was rhetorical.
It was.
However, as I was thinking about this, and I came up with a Jewish answer, which is a good name for God and that Jews use is Hashem. And Hashem means the name. So when you use Hashem, you're not naming God. You're just saying it's whatever you want to call it, or maybe there isn't one. So I like the idea of Hashem. So I walk down to the river and I'm working on one of my songs, which I will not do for you today. I think out of respect for your listeners. But I was singing to the river and two people come down and they look intellectually interested. So I tell them, I think this Jewish Hashem is a good name for God. They're both rabbis.
Wow.
And what did they say?
They said they're both rabbis.
Okay.
One of them said, it's because there are so many things outside of our control. Mm. Like where we're born, who our parents are, what our genetic structure is. And that's part of the answer. But part of the real reason I think we try to put a name on God, it's been used for religious fights now, and that's another question. The reason we do that is because most of us have a sense that there's something else going on around here, and they ain't telling us what it is, except putting this label, God, universe, consciousness, mystery. There's a lot of them, as well as the ones from all the different religions. The reason we give it a name is because the name gives us some sense of power. If we can name it, if you know the story of Rumpelstiltskin, that's where the name made the difference. Once the bad guy was named, he disappeared. So there's power in the name. There's power in the words. But really, the reason we use, and this is my answer to this question, why there's so, we have a feeling there's something else going on here, and that there is an intelligence, a consciousness, that seems to be guiding us sometimes and messing with us. I mean, I say, what the, are you doing that again? I mean, they pull stuff on me on a regular basis and I get mad at them, but that's part of what their game is, I think. Anyway, that's what I do. They get mad, I get mad at them. But they are guidance. Like I'm thinking about doing something, going to a place called Hollyhock on Cortez Island in the Gulf Islands, which some of you, I heard you say Ubud, may know something about. Yes, okay. It's so beautiful, those Gulf Islands off of Vancouver Island. I just love it there. And there's a dance thing that went on there.
The party up north, as we like to say.
Oh, very good. I like that. Party up north. Okay. Okay, I can stay with that. Okay. That's good up there. So I went to a dance thing there, and at Hollyhock was the name of the place on Cortez Island. And this dancing is going to happen again this summer, and I want to go. But should I? So I'm reading this book about how the future can be better, written by a guy in Vancouver. And right there is a Hollyhock a different name, but in Vancouver. So I said, okay. Yeah, that's the small ways that these things play with us. But that's encouraging to take the leap of calling my friend and saying, yeah, hey, I'd like to stay with you and go over to Hollyhock. He has a place up there. So that's an illustration of something playing with us and using us. Are we in a simulation?
So, you know, I think what would be really, I'm gonna choose my words wisely here, illuminating to hear from you, Dr. Biteman, would be, I think everyone in some capacity could relate to a coincidence or something synchronistic happening. Could you share how people could turn up the volume or shine a brighter light on understanding how and why those things happen. I think that would be really...
Well, first off, they should buy the book.
Yes.
My book helps. However, I'm developing something that's a more precise, three keys to understanding and using meaningful coincidences. And the first thing is fundamental. You got to start with fundamental. You got to believe they might be useful. And then you have to learn how to recognize them. So you have to know what a meaningful coincidence generally is like, which is usually a parallel between mind and environment. And those things aren't easy to come by. Then you have to be able to start thinking about how they might apply to you. And how they might apply to you, you can tell other people about them. But the best way I can think of doing this is do what I do with every guest on my podcast called Connecting with Coincidence. One of you, please tell me a coincidence story.
So it's really about having a conversation, being open to having a conversation with yourself, actually engaging in a process of listening, understanding, and maybe even knowing.
And maybe even knowing. And then to add what I try to write in the book and a list a few here, how are coincidences useful? You have to believe they're useful. You have to believe they're useful to you somehow. So among the many uses are, hey, I'm on the right path.
That's beautiful.
Probably the most common one. Look, that number, it's my number. I'm on the right path. So that is a confirmation of what you're doing. That's a favorite. Another favorite is helping with decision making. You're thinking about like this. I mean, just running into the hollyhock thing. I mean, that's like a help with decision making. Push me over a little bit more in the direction of doing it. And so, very important to know that coincidences are not commands. They're suggestions. They're like suggestions from somebody who loves you and cares about you, like your therapist or your mother or your friend. But you know your therapist ain't right. I've been wrong a few times, and they got to tell me that. But it's a suggestion for you to think about. That's one of the key ideas of them. But one of the other fun things about them, besides serendipity, is the name for finding things that you need in odd ways. They're happy accidents. And you can wonder about how that happens. That's why I use meaningful coincidences. They cover both synchronicity and serendipity. But one of the fun ones really is so important for those of you who meditate, those of you who recognize all we have is now, is that it's sometimes the coincidences are just fun. They are just fun in the moment, with somebody or with some thing in nature, I can tell you that story if you want to, but it's like being in an art gallery or a museum and seeing these wondrous things right in front of you. And that's it. It's for the moment that they also exist.
Well, I can certainly say that we had fun. We were in the moment. We're listening, we're paying attention, and thank you for being with us, Dr. Weitman. We had an illuminating conversation. We're very grateful for your time and energy. And everyone, please, please connect. Go to coincider.com, get his book, enjoy it, share it with someone you love, share it with someone you don't love. Get the word out there. Thank you, Dr. Weitman. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Remember, the book is Meaningful Coincidence, How and Why Synchronicity and Serendipity Happen. Thank you so much. We blew our first round of music, and we're just going for it again. Have a lovely day.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Do you or someone in your family suffer from nightmares? Is your home cluttered and you can't seem to clear it out? Your home or office may have low vibrational energy, and it could be impacting you and your family. Using the ancient techniques of dowsing, Master Dowser Annette Regalo can raise the vibration of your home or office by identifying and curing stress lines and negative vortexes that may be creating disharmony in your home or office. Annette has over 20 years of dowsing experience and is passionate about creating high vibrational spaces for others to live and work. Contact Annette today at 612-394-3736 or AnnetteRegalo.com to schedule your free dowsing consultation. When you transform the energy of your environment, you transform your life. Remember, that's AnnetteRegalo.com. AnnetteRegalo.com.
Life is full of crossroads and navigating them can be daunting, but fear not. Join us on Navigating Life's Crossroads, Pathways to Freedom with Leslie Wegleitner, your guide through the journey of self-discovery. In a world filled with inner conflict, external pressures, and the constant tug between your choices and others' expectations, Leslie will help you face your fears head-on. Discover how to choose your path authentically without compromising your true self. Our show explores the profound question, how can you find inner peace, align with your deepest desires, and make decisions that honor your unique journey? Leslie's wisdom and expertise will inspire you to embrace your own path and empower you to move forward with confidence and clarity. Don't let life's crossroads overwhelm you. Tune in to Navigating Life's Crossroads, Pathways to Freedom, and embark on a transformative journey towards self-discovery and true freedom. It's time to find peace within and make choices that resonate with your heart and soul. Join us and let's explore your path to a life you truly deserve at LeslieWegleitner.com.
Is your space aligned with your dreams? Do you feel inspired when you walk in the door? Carol Heider can help you create a space that you love, where you thrive, and where you always want to be. Using her 29 years of experience as a feng shui consultant, teacher, author, and trainer, she can help you bring forth the inspired essence of your home or office, making it a place where you feel whole and safe. Learn the specific feng shui adjustments that Carol has seen as the most important, such as determining which room in your home should be your favorite, why your stove may be affecting your health, and why your office may be holding you back. Contact Carol at 612-823-5093 or carolheider.com to discuss the specifics with a personal appointment. By elevating the energy of your space, it becomes sacred and you will be forever changed. Contact Carol at Carol Heider, that's CarolHeider.com.
Attention, curious practitioners in the realm of transformative experiences, holistic wellness, intuitive guidance, and metaphysical arts. Are you ready to expand your horizons and take your practice to new heights? Join the Edge Partner Directory, where your expertise can shine and your services can transform lives. We are dedicated to creating a community of practitioners who are as curious and passionate as you are about guiding others on their journeys of self-discovery, healing, and growth. As a member of the Edge Partner Directory, you will connect with a network of like-minded practitioners who share your curiosity and passion for exploring the depths of human potential, and showcase your unique offerings to a diverse audience of seekers actively looking for transformative experiences here, there, and everywhere. Embrace your curiosity and take the next step in your practice's journey to becoming an Edge Partner. Learn more at edgedirectory.net. Again, go to edgedirectory.net.
Hello, beautiful ones. It's Kelly. Brian is tripping the wild fantastic, as always. So today we're doing actually a couple shows. Some of the different formats that we're doing and playing with our beautiful show is having multiple guests in an hour in our time with you. And sometimes we go long form and short form. So today is going to be one of our fun little adventures with an amazing soul. Her story is going to be hard to capture in 22 minutes. And we're very, very blessed to have author, pioneer, and the godmother of women in recovery, Karen Casey. Karen, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Kelly. I'm just delighted to be here.
Oh, good. Well, hey, tell us a little bit about yourself. And by the way, just letting you know, because we do interview a bunch of authors and beautiful people like yourself. I do have it. I have the hard copy for everybody that's on Facebook Live and LinkedIn Live and all the beautiful things that we're doing live. I do have this fantastic book, and this is the most recent one from Karen. So, Karen, please welcome again. Welcome to the show, and tell the audience about yourself, please.
Oh, thank you. Well, I am a woman in recovery for 47 years. I celebrated 47 years in Alcoholics Anonymous, May 24th. And
congratulations, you know what, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it has been an amazing journey. I certainly, that first AA meeting, I had no idea when I went that it was something that would captivate me like it did. I mean, I was a pretty high-functioning alcoholic at the time. I was working on my doctorate at the University of Minnesota. It was evident to me that my first marriage was fraught with alcoholism. Both of us were certainly active alcoholics. But I really, I mean, I didn't really think of it as alcoholism. We just drank a lot, but I also was very productive. So I never saw that it got in my way until it became apparent that it was in my way emotionally. And our marriage ended after 12 years, and I jumped into one poor relationship after another. And finally, I was in a relationship with somebody who was trying to get sober. I was not helpful in that process, certainly, but he was trying to get sober. And his counselor said to me that I should go to Al-Anon. And I never heard of Al-Anon. And that was actually in 1974. And that was the turning point for me before I actually got sober. I went to Al-Anon in the fall of 1974. And I was just amazed at the comfort level that I felt, because that isn't how I had ever felt in a room of strangers, unless I was already under the influence. And so I knew there was something special. I didn't know what that something was. And I didn't stop drinking at that point. I mean, Al-Anon wasn't about me stopping drinking. I thought it was about me trying to help somebody else to stop drinking, actually.
Right.
And of course, that isn't really what Al-Anon is. So, Al-Anon doesn't teach you to change somebody else. It teaches you to change yourself.
So, Karen, and just to give a little bit of a moment, what is, just for our listenership, what is the difference between AA and Al-Anon?
Well, Al-Anon is for the families and friends of alcoholics. And it really deals, tries to help them deal with their own codependency issues.
Right.
And, you know, I was very aware, or became very aware, I should say, that I had been codependent probably all my life, meaning that I was always looking to others to make sure I was okay.
Right.
I was always trying to fit my life into somebody else's life. And sometimes that meant I would try to control them so that I would fit better, or take care of them so that they would want me to stay in their life. And of course, you know, when my first marriage ended, it was pretty disheartening, because he ended up leaving for somebody else, which was, and, you know, I mean, as I say, he was definitely an alcoholic. But nevertheless, I was devastated when he left.
Of course,
which is why then I kept choosing people similar to him.
Right.
And but then ultimately, I ended up in a situation, a couple's communication with a counselor, except my partner at that point, it was a new partner, never showed up for any of the sessions. And she finally said, you know, Karen, I think it's time for you just to tell us about yourself, since your friend John never shows up. Well, I began to talk about myself, not expecting to have her say anything, but, oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. She stopped me very quickly and said, you know, Karen, I think that you have a problem with alcohol. Oh. I think you need to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was dumbfounded. And
you're like, but who, me?
Yeah, me.
I get my work done, and I do this, and I live my life, right, and everything's fine.
I was
fine.
Working on my doctorate. You know, I'm teaching at the University of Minnesota. You know, how can I possibly have a? And so then I went to that first AA meeting, and I walked in, and I was absolutely blown away by this room full of people who were joyful, you know, who were, and they were about my age. At that point, I was 36. I am a month away from 84 now. And, but I looked at that room full of people, and the first thing I really noticed was that the room was full of good looking men.
Ooh.
And I thought, oh my God,
what have
oh
I been missing?
God, I should have been here all along. You know, there's way more good looking men here than I ever see sitting on the bar stools in all these bars on the West Bank where I am. So, you know, I went to that first meeting, as I say, never expecting that that my desire to drink would be gone. You know, I was a heavy duty. I hit them hard. I was a Jack Daniels drinker. And ooh. I went home that night, poured out that bottle of Jack Daniels, and the thought of taking a drink never crossed my mind again. Now,
that
my
is
journey
so
in recovery.
Okay, yeah, keep going. That's what I want to know.
My journey in recovery was bumpy at times. And, you know, that's not unusual for our journey to sometimes be bumpy. And the bumpiness of my journey was because I struggled to feel a real connection to my higher power. And, you know, AA and Al-Anon doesn't say you need to believe in God. Absolutely. So I want anybody listening to know that they are not religious programs at all. But the suggestion is that you do find something outside of yourself to believe in.
I just kept seeing greater than us. Like, it just,
yeah,
whatever you believe in,
yourself.
Whatever your faith right. is, just something, right. something greater than just what's here.
That's right. And so, but I struggled with that. And, you know, somebody told me early on, well, you can kind of rely on my higher power until you find your own. And actually that was kind of helpful.
Okay.
And, but, you know, after about 18 months, Kelly, I was really at a desperate point. I had been sober all that time, but I was really struggling. And I just thought, you know, this is not worth it. I didn't think about drinking, but I thought about ending my life. And so that happened very early in my journey, that I was prepared to end my life. And it didn't seem like a big deal at all, Kelly. And I had grown up as a chronically depressed kid. I didn't know that, you know, I didn't understand that that's what was going on. But as a matter of fact, that night, I rolled up all the towels. I lived in a one-bedroom apartment, cost $100 a month for that apartment. It was right by Loring Park. And I rolled up the towels with the plan of tucking them around the windows and then turn on the gas. And there was a knock at the door. And I was not expecting anybody, and I was just shocked that somebody was knocking at my door. And I went over to the door and just kind of quietly said, "Who's there?" And this woman's voice said, "Well, it's Pat, and we have an appointment." And it's like, "What? An appointment?" And so I opened the door just a crack to see if it was anybody I knew. And I'd never seen her before. And she was very tall, very attractive, red-haired woman. And she pulled out her daily planner. And sure enough, there was my name. And I said, "Well, what are we meeting about?" And she said, "I'm a financial planner. We're meeting to discuss your finances." And that was laughable. You know, I although I did teach at the university, I made very little money.
Right.
And as I said, I lived in a $100 a month apartment. I didn't have any big savings account. So it was shocking. But she kind of wormed her way in and walked into the kitchen and sat down. And she said, "Is there something wrong?" And I said, well, I'm really depressed. And she said, you know, I'm really familiar with depression. I've struggled with it too. And so is my husband. And he's a recovering alcoholic, which was kind of a shock to me. And she said, you know, what I've come to believe based on reading a book by Catherine Ponder is that when we're in the midst of a really deep depression, we're really on the precipice of a whole new spiritual awakening. So she said, what I want you to believe is that you're on one side of this abyss and God is on the other side reaching for you. And all you need to do is put out your hand and he'll take it. And she said, I know this to be true based on my own experiences. And honestly, she talked so gently and so softly. And after she shared that, she got up and walked toward the door. And she said, you know, my business here is done. And she turned back and reached toward me and gave me a hug. And she said, you're going to be just fine. I want you to know that God is here now, very present. All you have to do is reach toward him. And she disappeared. And I never saw her again. And I have come to believe that actually she was, and this may sound kind of hokey to some of the listeners, but I've come to believe that she was an angel on assignment. If she had not appeared at my door, I wouldn't be here, Kelly.
I know.
I mean, I would have literally have ended it. But then the rest of my life unfolded in ways that I couldn't have imagined. For instance, that book you held up just a moment ago, Each Day a New Beginning, I wrote that book. That book was originally written in 1982. This year it's celebrating its 40th anniversary. And I didn't sit down ever to write a book for other women. I started journaling because I was desperate to try to find some way to connect to that higher power.
It was your flow. I just see it that it was like this beautiful flow and it's a connection.
It was. Mm-hmm. It was. It just came. I mean, I would sit and I didn't, I mean, I can't even describe it to anybody, but that's continued to be the way my writing is. You know, my most recent book, actually, Each Day a Renewed Beginning, that I wrote during the quarantine, Each Day a Renewed Beginning. Yep. I'll hold this up.
Get
I
it
don't
up.
Know that they can see it.
Yeah, they can. But, here, there we go.
And anyway, Each Day a Renewed Beginning, Meditations for a Peaceful Journey, I wrote during the quarantine. And, you know, and again, it was the same kind of thing. That was my 30th book. And
wait a second. Hold on. Everybody, that was her 30th book. Okay, now you can keep going.
Okay. And, you know, when I look back at my life, Kelly, it has amazed me so much because none of this would I have thought for a plan for my life. I had no idea where my life was going. Okay, you know, yeah. I grew up in Lafayette, Indiana, a scared little kid who always, as I said, always was looking to feel as though I fit in,
right,
which was that codependency. And then alcohol began to change things for me. Alcohol made me feel comfortable. And then, of course, that first husband leaving, bless his heart,
yes,
led me to all of those other bad relationships.
Yeah.
And that's what
Learnings.
Led me ultimately to Al-Anon and then AA. And so I feel so firmly that everything in my life, the entire trajectory of my life, has been perfect.
It is.
And you know, I think about that. I had to really think about that today, though, too, when I was trying to find your studio.
Okay, everybody, I'm going to let everyone know that Karen was supposed to be in studio, and bless her, she got lost, or like divinely, you were supposed to do it from your home.
I guess.
And we had to punt a little bit to make things happen, but It's serendipity, right? And but then instead of giving up and instead of going and getting angry, you just dialed in and we're like, we're gonna just change everything up and we're just gonna flow.
And so I just look at that and it just makes me chuckle. It's like that higher power that I so resisted 47 years ago.
Right.
I now know has always been in charge.
Oh,
from
yes.
the time I was that kid, when I didn't believe anything, and I didn't grow up in a family that stressed really a belief in anything. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it wasn't anti-Christian, certainly, but, you know, we weren't raised to say grace before a meal. And so, you know, I was just kind of floundering, my whole life until I got into the rooms of Al-Anon and AA. And, you know, after all these years, I still go to multiple meetings every week of Al-Anon and AA, because that really is where my sustenance comes from. Mm. And I believe completely that once we are clean and sober, we have an obligation to be there for others.
Right.
To help show them the way. So, you know, I'm always disheartened when I meet somebody who says, oh, you know, I don't go to AA anymore. I don't need AA. Because I feel like people need us. They need to see us old timers. They need to see that recovery can last as long as we're alive.
Right.
And there are always those newcomers coming in and they need us to be present. So, you know, I feel like I've had just an incredible life, not one that I ever would have planned for myself, but there isn't anything about my life that I would change. You know, I've lived in, my husband and I spent, up until he got cancer, we spent winters in Florida for 32 years. And so last year and then this year, which was brutal, were the first two winters in all those years we were back here in Minnesota.
Oh, that was your fault. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Right. You know, it's like, oh, wouldn't you know, here we are back and look at the winter we're having.
Oh, gotcha.
But, you know, everything is...
It's your flow.
Everything is as it should be.
It is as it should be. So I know it sounds crazy, but we have like 2 minutes left and... I want to know, not only, again, how can people get your books, but and reach out to you, because you have a very powerful message, and I love that you have that sense of responsibility and community and mentorship to those that are, wherever they are in the world, you're willing to meet people where they're at. But do you have any final thoughts and suggestions for people who are seeking to cultivate more peace and actions,
you know,
in their life?
You know, I think that... The desire to be at peace. I think the reason that has called to me so much, Kelly, is that we live in such a tumultuous world these days.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it feels so often like there is so little we can do to make it better. But I believe that each of us has an opportunity every moment to show up peacefully and kindly in every encounter we have. And I think that every time we do that, we're not only changing the experience for that person we encounter, we're changing something for ourselves.
Absolutely.
And we're changing something for the entire universe. You know, we, in every act we have, every act we make, we're either making a difference for the good, or we're adding to the stress and the trauma of this world we live in. And so I feel like every breath we take, we can be offering greater peace. There's a woman, I have been facilitating A Course in Miracles for 35 mm-hmm. years. And A Course in Miracles is another spiritual pathway that I so believe in. And its focus is on being an expression of love wherever we go, and not let ourselves get pulled off that pathway. And all that really means is, how can I be a better representative of the God of my understanding in this next moment? Well, I can do it by being loving, regardless of what the encounter looks like. I can show up as a loving presence.
You guys, and Karen, thank you so much. I mean, you are like, and oh my gosh, we could speak for hours and hours and hours. I have to go to our next segment as I'm actually just watching our link just completely die. The cameras die and everything. This is crazy, the energy coming in. Karen Casey, she is an author. The 40th anniversary of Each Day a New Beginning, Daily Meditations for Women is out now. Karen Casey is an author, and to find her, it is www.womens-spirituality.com. Karen, we're going to have you back again. We're going to have it with Brian. And thank you so much for being here. And thank you so much for your message.
And thanks for being understanding and patient with me.
My pleasure. It's all good. Okay. Thanks, everybody.